Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Billy. Billy.
This is the Fans U.S. Open Week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Don't wait for comfort with Area Heating and Cooling. Go to areaheating.com today, your local Train Comfort specialists. It's hard to stop a train.
It's U.S. Open Week on Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 405 on The Fan. Thanks for being with us. It's Rop and Suk. Fun first hour. Fun-filled. I should be late more often.
Light-hearted, if you will.
Yeah, we're having a good time out here today.
You were right on time, Rob. Don't worry about it.
I'm just a few seconds late, that's all. But I got my what it do in. Coming up this hour, in the news, not so fast on road rage, bro.
Yeah.
How about that?
Mind blown.
He's the guy we told you about who reached in and broke the lady's arm, like snapped it.
Knocked her partner, girlfriend, significant other, I don't know.
Lover,
whatever. Can I just say that that is one of the more uncomfortable things that you can call another person?
What, lover?
Lover. Makes me think of that Saturday Live sketch where they were all in the hot tub, like Will Ferrell and Rachel Dratch.
Lover.
You'd be like, this is my lover. Like if you got introduced to someone and instead of saying this is your wife, if you said this is my lover, it's just... It's a very...
Well, there's no reason for it.
No.
Like, we get it.
There's not.
You're husband and wife.
Yeah, you're with each other.
It's implied. Why do you say that?
But in this case, I don't remember if they were married or not, but they're partners.
Mm-hmm. I think they were married.
Or lovers.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's been a twist in this story.
Yeah, because supposedly he knocked the other one out, and like it made it sound like at the time it was like the worst thing that ever happened. No charges.
We'll get to that at 4:30. We are talking about what should happen when a home run is hit in the new Portland baseball park.
Yeah, we've got the
good ones.
We need a pole in center field that maybe a gal takes a spin or two around, celebrating the great Portland culture that we have. A
couple of texts here. This one says the home run should have a choice of whether or not it wants to be called a home run or not. Why are you guys assuming it what it wants to be?
That's a valid
great,
point.
Great point.
Let's let the ball decide whether or not it should be thrown back or stay where it's at.
The base paths need to include a green bike path, and the home run hitter hops on a bike and has to stop for a TriMet bus.
Takes a little whirly bird around there.
That's fantastic.
Gives you a little something.
What else do we have here?
Instead of a home run, it should be the affordable housing run.
What?
Instead of a home run.
Oh, home. Yeah. Affordable
housing run.
Yes. I like it. I get it. Good stuff. There was another good one in here. What was it? Oh, after a home run, you need to return the ball to home plate. Portland's only going to use six balls the entire game. We can't be wasteful, guys.
That's true. Hold on, guys. It's like when you were playing a wiffle ball as a kid. Ah, damn. Someone jump the damn fence and get the ball.
What if we just did the naked bike ride every home run? They were just nudes lined up.
Nudes waiting out in center field.
And they just race.
It's waiting to go.
Right across there.
You give Mike Trout a little smooch as you roll by.
All right. Where were we?
I don't know what we were going to do.
Well, let's wrap up the local sports news.
Oh, yeah.
The Beavers are in the College World Series, and I'm going to be a homer and say they're going to win it.
Just go with that?
I mean, I don't know. They just look awful good.
They do. They look dominant right now. I mean, but some people were saying that, like, all along, that the last, two, 3 weeks of the season, they should have been the number one team and not Florida.
Screw Florida.
Well, I guess Florida struggled down the stretch and lost some ball games, but they have such a good reputation. But at this point, Oregon State should too. I mean, Oregon State is a national powerhouse. This isn't the first time they've been there. They're two-time national champs.
Yeah, but the Beavs, you know, it's like this is now their seventh College World Series.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that they're back there again. It's like become old hat now. Mm-hmm. But they kind of need to get another one, you know. They're only two titles.
You're dropping a what have you done for me lately?
Well, Yeah. How many have they been to where they didn't win?
Well, if this is their seventh.
They went to the three in a row, and they won the back two of the three in a row, right? So it was 06, 07.
Well, they've
won. Been over 10 years.
Yeah, it's been over. That's BS, Casey. Come on, Pat. Let's win us one here,
what the
okay?
Hell? And like I said, it's fun to watch. It's just this is a tough one for me because it's hard for me to fully get behind it.
You missed it on Friday. You would have gone crazy.
What?
Well, they gave a big old standing O, and people were tweeting that it's very emotional, and everyone was crying that Luke Heimer.
I just can't.
You know, at the same time,
can't get behind it.
Can we do this? Can we talk about the Beavers going to the College World Series and just bifurcate the Luke Heimlich story at this point?
And that's what I'm trying to do, because none of the rest of those kids deserve any flack from it. I'm just saying, for me personally, it's hard. I have gone down to one of their games, I think, in every College World Series, but the regionals, the super regionals that they've had at Oregon State. I've always gone down there. It's a great stadium. It's a great environment. I like baseball, and obviously, you know, you don't get down there during the regular season very much, but postseason baseball for Oregon State, and I really like Pat Casey. It's just, it's an easy story to get behind. I always root for Oregon State, and I think it's amazing what they've built there, and just this year, I can't do it. It's a conflict in me.
Bifurcate it. How about Deal coming in with the after every home run?
No, no.
What?
No.
After every home run, Brian Wheeler's scrote should drop from center field. How about that?
Whoa.
That's what I'm talking about.
Why? Why do we have to go there? God, that makes me uncomfortable.
That's why.
That's my Dolly the Dolphin. It just makes me cringe every time.
Well, anyway, the Beavers on the football tip they had a big recruiting weekend, too.
Yeah, I guess they're saying, I was talking to Nemec kind of a little bit of back and forth, and that they have made a real strong push to kind of turn things around recruiting wise, because that's the thing that people don't realize with Gary Anderson is not only were they not getting wins on the field, but they were archaic, I guess, in the way they went about recruiting. And Jonathan Smith is
doing a good job.
Yeah, is getting a little shot in the arm.
It seems like they got this big 4-star defensive end, Omar Spates. And doesn't he just sound like he's good?
Omar Spates?
Right? Like, doesn't he sound like a guy who's going to be a staple in Corvallis for 4 years?
The next Slade. Slade Norris had one of those names.
Yeah.
Who do you want rushing the quarterback? Slade Norris.
Well, how about Sabby Piscatelli?
Yeah, there's another
when
one.
When they got him, it's like, oh, dude, anchor. Yeah. Anchor. There's no way that guy sucks.
Omar Spates.
God, Omar Spates. He's a defensive end.
Yeah, but I guess Oregon State is doing a nice job. Now, I know things change. Obviously, because some schools don't have a bunch of commitments. You know, I don't know if this has changed, but I saw this maybe 3 or 4 days ago. UCLA doesn't have one commit.
What?
Yeah.
That's Chip Kelly, right?
Yeah, Chip Kelly.
I saw that he kicked off a bunch of offensive linemen from his team. Yeah. Bunch of backups.
Well, there's some people that think that there may be some growing pains there. I think
how do they not have any commits? This is for the next year.
This is for the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like I said, it's so early in the process, but I think Oregon State right now is ranked like 5th or 6th in the Pac-12, which I know is going to change as more people get recruits and they'll fall a little bit. But the fact that they're off to a hot start and they're getting kids to commit, that's a huge boost. And then Oregon's lighting it up. It seems like every other day, Oregon's getting some new stud. They've got another corner that's like a top 10 corner. And if he finds a way to land in Oregon, that'll be the three best corners they've ever recruited rank-wise all be in the same class.
If they can just keep these coaching staffs, maybe you got the Ducks and Beavers trending up towards relevance at the same time again.
I miss the days when the Civil War meant something.
Yeah.
You know, not just for, you know, civic pride, but how fun was that when that game meant the Rose Bowl for both teams? Or at least it meant a good bowl game for one and maybe trying to keep the other one out of the Rose Bowl or a Pac-12 title. That would be so much fun to have the Pac-12 North title come down to that. We have that in the Apple Cup a couple times. It'd be nice to see that here in the Oregon.
Do you remember when Kansas was really high up in the Big 12 recruiting rankings because of those kids from Louisiana?
No.
We talked about it. They got a couple of big-time kids from Louisiana, and it was like—
Early on before anyone else
had. So then they were like one or two in the Big 12. I was just looking at it. They are now 10th out of 10.
Who are they ahead of?
No, oh, there's only 10.
There's only 10 teams. I was like, wait, there's two teams behind them.
Yeah, don't be ridiculous.
Like, how bad is that if you're not getting you're getting out recruited by Kansas?
All right, coming up next, three names in the NFL are trending. We'll tell you who they are and why when we return. It is 4:14 on the Fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news in about 10 minutes. Here's another one for what should happen when a home run is hit in our new MLB to Portland Stadium that we're going to be getting for sure. That's 100%.
Oh, yeah. Team's coming.
And this guy says, every time a home run is hit, some skinny 20-year-old should run out on the field as a smelly Antifa bro, then get tackled by a cop, and all the adults with jobs stand up and applaud.
Bro.
It's like half the stadium applauds.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say.
Maybe.
Maybe half the stadium applauds. It's depends.
Someone says, doesn't matter what happens when a home run is hit, there will be a petition against it.
No question. It'll just start getting passed around.
Passed around. Go ahead and sign this.
Every half inning, there's a petition handed down your aisle.
Some news.
Oh, my God. What's this one?
Some new city ordinance against home runs. This is outrageous. It's affecting my quality of life.
So there are three football players trending on social media, and I wanted to talk about each one of them, tell you what's going on. The first one is Christian Hackenberg. Because
he can't play football.
Yeah, he sucks. Now, Christian Hackenberg, was he the one that Trent Dilfer was in love with here on when we had Dilfer on?
Dilfer liked him. He wasn't very. He came out of high school and was like a legend. He was like Andrew Luck sort of hype. And he got to Penn State. He started as a true freshman and then never really developed. So he wasn't very good, but they, you know, Dilfer said he had all the tools and he thought that he could,
liked him.
He thought he could turn into something because he had the raw skill set with the right coaching. And he got to the Jets and no.
Well, he was like fourth on the depth chart.
Yes.
He wasn't any good with the Jets.
I remember that when his rookie year, they were trying to shield him from reporters. I guess it was so bad that they didn't want people to see him. And then when they actually got a look at him, I think it was in OTAs or maybe it was in minicamp. There were people that had covered the Jets for 20, 25 years and said they had never seen anything quite like it. Like he had almost never played the game before. That's how bad the reports were out of New York.
It's so strange to me. Like, this is kind of one of the things about the quarterback position. It's hard for just a fan like me to reconcile is that he went ahead of Dak Prescott. Think about that.
Yeah.
But also, guys like Trent Dilfer are really smart football guys.
Yeah.
You know, like he is a really good quarterback guy. And so is John Gruden. You know, he does that quarterback camp or whatever, that TV show before he got the job with my Raiders. So Gruden did a quarterback QB camp or whatever. What do they call that show?
Yeah. It was
QB camp?
Yeah, it was Gruden's QB camp.
QB camp. He did one with Christian Hackenberg. And I guess he loved Christian Hackenberg. So now that he's with the Raiders traded for Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah.
And the reason Hackenberg is trending today is that he was
cut. Like 3 weeks after they traded for him.
3 weeks.
Like even Gruden was like,
right. And that's what it blows me away. It's like Gruden and Dilfer, really smart football guys. Mm-hmm. And Gruden still wanted to give him a look. And he's just like, whoa. Right? Like, how could they be so wrong?
How bad do you have to be in OTAs for a guy that loved you, who traded for you, to just be like, we're not doing
that. And sometimes I feel like Dilfer would tout high school players that he really liked personally or that he wanted to give them a little love so that he would get his name out there. Like, I think there was a bit of an agenda with him because he worked in that Elite 11 or works in that Elite 11 camp.
Well, and I think sometimes it's easy to fall in love with guys. And, you know, by all accounts, you know, maybe Hackenberg is a great kid. But he obviously fooled people. Like, But he wasn't even good in college.
I know.
He fooled coaches into believing in him.
Tell me, what was it about him?
Maybe he had a Jeff George sort
of
thing.
Big arm?
I guess. I mean, he was a big armor who was really smart in meetings and was able to draw stuff up where he looked good in practice. I don't know what it is. I never understood the fascination because when you look up at his college stats, he wasn't good. You know, there's one thing about like Jamarcus Russell, right, who had the big year at LSU and you fall in love with him. Hackenberg wasn't good. If you look up his numbers in college as a true freshman, in fact, I think his true freshman was his best year.
Josh Allen wasn't great.
No,
he just got drafted.
That's
everybody
true.
Loves him.
But at least with Allen, you can make the argument where you played with lesser talent. He played at Penn State. What was his excuse for sucking?
Yeah. Weird. So anyway, the Raiders don't have to give up a pick. It was a conditional trade, so he had to play a certain number of games or be on the roster for a certain number of games.
Yeah.
For the Raiders to send it was a 2019, I think it was a 7th round pick, but they don't have to send that to the Jets. So Christian Hackenberg has been cut.
And something tells me that this is probably the end of the road for Christian Hackenberg. We need, you know, someone in the NFL, like my offensive line coach kind of told this to me. He was like, look, it's time. It might be time to go do something else. I appreciated that. I appreciated the honesty. Like Dana White does this, like the UFC guy. He'll come out and be like, look, really appreciate the fight, but should go find something else to do. There should be an NFL bro that goes and tells Christian Hackenberger. Yeah,
it's over. Yeah, maybe some broadcasting. Yeah. Huh?
You know, what about being a coach?
What about, okay, so the next guy trending is a broadcaster.
Yeah.
And that is Reggie Bush. Now, why is he trending?
Well, Reggie Bush has made some bold statements.
Interesting story. Wait, what do you mean bold statements?
Well, you didn't. Oh, so you got maybe something different about Reggie Bush.
Yeah, he won his lawsuit. So do you remember when Reggie Bush got hurt? He was playing for the 49ers. I remember watching the game. I remember it as it happened.
Yeah, on the concrete.
He had a punt return, and he ran out of bounds, and he runs kind of past the sideline and towards the wall that is the stands.
Yeah, and
right in front of that is cement, is concrete that is uncovered, and he slipped and fell, and he tore his meniscus. And for those that haven't been following, he was signed by the Bills, but he didn't do anything for Buffalo. He hasn't done anything since that.
No.
He tore his meniscus slipping and falling at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis. Well, I didn't know this, but he sued them.
Yeah, for
he
what,
sued like the Rams.
$12, $13 million,
well,
right?
He wanted his salary. And he got it. Today he won the monies. The Rams have to pay him $12.5 million for that because they said that it was what did they deem it? They said the Rams allowed a dangerous condition to exist in their dome.
It is ridiculous that the turf did not extend all the way. And for if you have ever worn, now most guys, skill position guys, always wear hard cleats. So there's two different kinds of cleats that you wear. Even on like field turf, you can wear like soft cleats, which a lot of offensive linemen wear, and that's like molded rubber. And then hard cleats, which are like a hard plastic. And all skilled guys wear the hard cleats. And if you've ever walked on concrete in hard cleats, holy hell. It is straight like walking on ice. It is really, really dicey. And you're running full speed and you're running on turf and then all of a sudden you get to concrete. There's no way for you to stay up. I'm surprised that this hasn't happened before, and they've taken the steps now to extend it. But it's ridiculous that anyone would not, because it was like what, maybe 5 yards of extra material to get it to the wall.
Yeah.
Why the hell wouldn't you have it all the way there?
Well, he won, and then the third guy trending from the NFL is Andrew Luck. He's big in the news today because he threw a football,
not an NFL football, but he threw a football.
He threw a football. And that's the first time he's thrown a football in a long time.
Yeah. This is, since October, I think?
I don't know.
Been a year and a half.
I mean, he's a quarterback. You would think he'd throw footballs a lot, but.
Yeah, October was when he was shut down.
Yeah.
And the surgery was back last January.
So, I mean, and this is the first, and someone actually got to see it. Now, I still.
Oh, there's video of it.
I still kind of laugh that, and by the way, it's not like he was unloading. He was throwing little swing passes or whatever. He wasn't driving the ball downfield.
It was a hell of a check down.
It was.
Let me tell you something.
So I still kind of laugh at this thing from the Colts that are like, oh, no, 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 no. He'll be ready to go day one. Well, we'll see about that. Is the fact of the matter is you're not that far away from the NFL season starting, and you're not even throwing an NFL football yet. And last time I checked, you get hit in NFL games. I'm not convinced that thing is ever going to be the same. I mean, you look at how long this has been and how slow they're taking it. And even listen to Andrew Luck's comments. He goes, look, I'm trying to take this day by day. I've tried to skip steps in the past, which why the hell are you trying to skip steps when you're the franchise quarterback? And he said he's paid for it, so they're trying to be real cautious with this. If I'm a Colts fan, I'm scared to death. You know, these shoulder injuries, it's like we have this idea now with medical science that you can just sprinkle some fairy dust on any injury and that you're magically the same. There are some injuries that you never come back from. And I think this is a real scary one for Andrew Luck and for the Colts.
All right, coming up next, it's time for In the News. Boy, do we have a twist and a turn in that story from Bend about the road rage, bro. We'll have that for you next. Here's Mike.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's that time of day. You have made it to the June 12th, 2018 edition of In the News. Hey. Your noted newsman here with a follow-up.
I like follow-ups.
Now.
More at 11.
Something that can kill you that you're probably doing right now. Tune in tonight at 11.
This guy's name was J. Allen Barbeau.
Yeah.
And he looks like Roid Rage Road Rage guy.
Yes, he does.
He's straight out of Central Casting, really. But boy, were we a little off on this story. Initially reported, remember we told you last week that Jay was the guy that after the some mishap in a roundabout in Bend, mm-hmm. after a concert or something.
He gets out of the car, he does a flying fist and breaks the taillight and the rear window of these two ladies' cars.
Yeah, because they cut him off.
Then it said that he grabbed the lady's arm, twisted it until it broke it in a compound fracture. Then the other lady, her partner, gets out and he starts pummeling her, beats
you mean her lover.
Yeah, the lover beats her unconscious. Lover.
Yeah.
And then he tried to get away, but then the cops, he tried to go on the lam, but they cheesed him.
So
they got him and arrested him.
They did cheese him. Now he's been in custody and he got out today and there will be no charges filed against this guy.
No.
And you may say, well, why? So the women's names are Megan Stackhouse and Lucinda Mann.
It's the fiance. So yes, definitely lovers. Also,
well, you
fiancés.
Think, we're going to assume.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're waiting till marriage. I don't know.
So that was the report last week. Now, so this guy's a 48-year-old guy. He's from Redmond, and he's been behind bars the whole time. The DA, John Hummel, said in a statement he decided to drop the charges, which included felony assault, after a review of medical records, witness accounts, and prior incidents involving the two women.
Yeah, I guess
he says
they,
I have no confidence.
Before.
He says I have no confidence in the credibility of Mann and Stackhouse. Casey Baxter, a lawyer for Barbeau, he's the rage guy, mm-hmm. said his client admitted to punching out the women's window in a fit of anger, which is still, like...
It's not good.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Could you punch out a back window with your fist?
I think it probably hurt. I mean, maybe LeBron could.
I wouldn't.
Look, I'd punch some things
so
in
if I punch the window... Let's say I do this. Let's say I'm super roid rage guy, mm-hmm. and I roll up there with my dad bod and my white beard, and I punch the back of the window... Mm-hmm. It's going to be one of those scenes like from the movies where nothing happens to the window and I just writhe in pain. It's like the guy who doesn't break like you're in karate and you try to break the board and you don't break
it. You go against the grain as opposed to with it.
So
I bet you could punch out a window.
I don't know. The back window? Those things seem like back. Those things seem really...
I punched a fridge once and dented it.
Oh, you badass. Oh, my God.
And yeah.
Steer clear of you.
And it hurt.
Jesus.
Look, every now and then you need to punch something.
Well, every guy's probably punched a hole in the wall. That makes you feel manly, right? It's it's just drywall. But
unless you hit a stud, then you're, ooh.
And
you try to play it off like it doesn't hurt?
Casey Baxter, the lawyer, he said the client did admit to punching... out the women's window, and he was pissed, but he did so after their Kia Soul had hopped a curb while leaving a cider festival, nearly slammed into his pickup truck, and the woman flipped him off, and his wife flipped him off repeatedly.
By the way, you still can't, because someone almost hits you and then gives you the bird, you still can't get out of your car and go punching cars. This guy's, so, guy should have had something.
How about this quote from the attorney? He says, he really never once struck any of those women.
I love that they dropped a really in
the
there.
Entire event was a terrible lie that turned into international condemnation. I guess this story went international. Everybody was talking about road rage, bro.
Yeah.
Out here in Oregon. Stackhouse and Mann did not respond to requests for comment. In interviews last week, the pair said Barbo tailed them for blocks in his pickup truck after Stackhouse pulled out in front of him while leaving a carnival, cider company. So what they're saying is he reached into the car, snapped Stackhouse's arm with his bare hands, and he punched her in the face multiple times, blah, blah, blah. Hummel, in his statement, said the women's accounts could not be substantiated. He said Mann's claims of injury in the Barbeau case were debunked by the medical records. While Stackhouse did suffer a broken bone in her wrist, there are competing claims as to how her injury occurred. And based on her lack of credibility, I cannot stand behind her version of events. This is the DA again.
Yeah, he's saying that she may have broken her wrist or arm by slamming it into his truck after he punched out the window.
Yeah. Not entirely innocent, so says the DA.
Well, you know, did she do that, like, because she was angry about the window and was trying to get his car back? Or was she doing it to try to make it look like he beat her up? He also said while Mann dropped to the ground during the altercation, there was no evidence that she had been assaulted or thrown down.
Wow.
And they also said during the investigation, they found out that Mann had feigned being unconscious in a 2016 traffic accident, and that she had intentionally thrown herself onto the hood of another car in the road after drinking with Stackhouse at Ben's 10 Barrel Brewery. And that was just last week that she flung herself onto the hood of the car and tried to claim that someone hit her.
So they go out drinking a lot, and then they try to get some monies on their way home.
Sounds like it. Apparently. Sounds like this is kind of one of those things they do. So, look, no one's doubting the fact that, obviously, Rageroid, or Roid Rage guy, jumps out, punches the car, and then after that, they're like, well, all right, let's do this.
Interesting. Well, why did... Okay, so what's interesting about this is, like, well, I guess you read a news story, and you go, well, okay, that they're reporting that that's what happened. That's,
yeah.
I mean, what else do I have to go
well,
on?
Well, and if you listen to the original story, it says that he was arrested, that there were multiple eyewitness accounts.
Right, yeah.
It made it seem like everything was on the up and up.
And it all seemed... Yeah, but it's just like, I don't know, we let our brains immediately go to, well, that had to be what happened, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's kind of weird. Why do we do that? Like, why did we never... Because of... I think it's because this guy looks like he would do something like that, which sounds horrible. And these are just two, you know, two women and their little Kia Soul. He's the big buff guy in his big old Brian Wheeler scrote truck. What do you think about that? Maybe they should make the little Brian Wheeler scrote, like, you know, like the little things that drop off the back of the truck.
The nudicles?
Yeah. What do you think? Would you buy one? Put it on your truck? No?
That makes me so very uncomfortable.
Hello?
Hello?
No.
So why is it that we let ourselves...
But I mean,
we condemn this guy.
Granted, sometimes we rush to judgment. This one, to me, I don't... If anyone did, I don't fault them at all.
But what if it were the other way around? And it was this guy, and then they...
Assaulted by the two
they
ladies.
Did that to you know, it's like we would be like, wait, there's something weird here, right?
Understand, but when you get out of your car, you punch out a window, the woman does indeed have a broken arm. She had a broken arm and a broken wrist.
Yeah, but she did it to herself.
She did it to herself, but I mean, all I'm saying is if I tell you that just those facts are not disputed by anyone, there was a broken arm. It's two ladies, small ladies, by the way. Have you seen the photos of them? They're tiny.
No, I haven't seen the photos.
Yeah.
We got some hots on our hands?
No, they're like little hipster kind of, you know.
Yeah, straight
glasses.
Out of Central Casting
straight out of Central
as
Casting.
Well.
Portlandia.
Yeah, right well, so Central. Is he. Isn't that interesting?
So you
Mr.
get...
Mr. Barbeau.
You get a big, bald weightlifting guy, and I tell you that he voluntarily got out of his car, ran over, broke the window in the taillight with his fist, and the lady has a broken arm, and the other one was laying on the ground, seemingly unconscious. I just don't think that's much of a leap. I think sometimes we do rush to judgment. I think this is one of those that even the cops that showed up was like, all right, what happened? And witnesses say, well, this guy jumped out, broke the car, and you show up, and the lady's got a broken wrist. The other lady's laying on the ground and is like, oh, what's happening? I've got a concussion. I can't fault anyone for jumping to the conclusion that this guy did it.
Well, in the original story, wasn't it that you said the girl in the guy's car was egging him on to like leave?
Yes.
Like leave the scene,
let's
leave
go,
the
let's
scene.
Go. Yeah.
That of course right. That would add so, to
I mean,
that too.
This is true. Two and two adds up to four. It just turned out that it didn't. This one time, it was wrong. But I don't think this was a rush to judgment or bad journalism. I just think this is one of those weird cases where everything looked to be going one way and it turned out it wasn't true.
Somebody was lying.
Yeah. The guy's still a douche. The guy still got cut off in traffic and got out and
punched out a window.
You know, that's the sort of thing that gets someone shot. Like, you know, you get out of the car and you're all pissed off because someone flipped you the bird. You punch out a window and you look like that.
Well,
good thing someone didn't pull out a gun and shoot your ass.
If you're just tuning in, Jay Allen Barbeau is out of jail. Deschutes County prosecutors on Monday dropped all charges.
Yeah. So until next time, he decides to punch out a window and then indeed punch someone.
And if you get into it with Megan Stackhouse and Lucinda Mann, watch out.
Don't.
They're out for your wallet.
You're going to lie.
All right, coming up next, let's go dumpster diving with Kylie Boshi.
Let's.
It's 4:45 on The Fan.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling.
On 1080 The Fan.
You know, somebody was asking about Lucinda and Stephanie, and what about charges on them?
Yeah, shouldn't you have some sort of false, I don't know, like making false charges, statements?
Well, I don't think they can prove that either. I think what the DA is saying is, look, we don't really trust them. We also can't really prove what they're saying is true. We don't have enough witnesses. We out.
Something happened. Are we going offsetting penalties? Holding on the defense?
Replay the down.
Yeah, just replay. Everything's fine.
So would you want to be...
Yes.
You would.
No. Maybe. I don't know.
Would you want to be an investigative reporter if you were a journalist?
God, no.
Why not?
I want to be Ed Whalen giving out burnt biscuit awards.
Yeah. You don't think it'd be fun going up to doors and, like, knocking on the door with the cameraman and they don't answer and you're like, hey, it's Jason Zucanic, Action Team News.
I've never understood that because...
Open the door
now. Let me ask you this. In the history of journalism, has anyone, has that technique ever worked?
Oh, yeah. I've seen them open the door.
Yeah, they'll open the door and they'll even say something like an idiot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then that's when you know you got a good segment.
You're like, sir, do you want to comment on this? No, I don't. The door is shut.
In the little preview, like, the guy's face is blurred, and you're like, oh, yeah, we're going to get some answers.
I would be the worst journalist ever when it came to that sort of stuff, because, like, I don't understand, and I'm glad there's people out there that do it, but, like, people that go into, like, war zones and they put themselves in harm's way to get the scoop, that's not me.
It's because they're good people.
Are they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's like an adrenaline junkie sort of thing. Like, you go over, like, you meet with, like, Hezbollah or you meet with, like, ISIS or whatever. You're, like, embedded. And then, like, you're shocked when it doesn't turn out well. Look who you're going to meet.
No. They want to get the story. They want to get the story for you. Well, that's their job.
That's fine.
That's what they signed up for.
I value my life over getting the story. Like, if you tell me that there's hot Brian Wheeler news, but it's the chance that my life is on the line.
Whoa. You mean Brian Wheeler's scrote news.
No. No, I don't.
Because that's what was in the news, not Brian Wheeler.
I'm not dying for. I'm not dying for that scoop. Would you?
Well, but no, I'm not a journalist. But I think people that do sign up for that, like, that is.
I think it's sick. I think it's a sickness.
Part of the thing.
I don't think it's about, honestly, like, getting the story and bringing it to the people. I think it's their drug. It's the people that are addicted to that sort of thing. I think that's a very narcissistic thing. Mm. Not a, I'm doing this for the benefit of man.
Want to pad their resume?
Yes. Look at what I did.
Maybe, like, I can write a book about this one.
Yeah. It's like why Brian Williams is like, oh, yeah, I was in a copter in the danger that I was in. Yeah, the hell you were.
Okay. Well, Kylie Boshi is the new in-town investigative reporter that you don't want to mess with. He's at KGW.
Yeah.
Kylie Boshi. He's the one that comes and knocks on your door, and you better not. If Kylie Boshi comes a knocking.
You do the peek your hat through the curtains, and then everyone turn off the lights.
Oh, no, it's a Boshi. What did we do? Because he's on it.
Yes.
Well, his news story is confidential documents found in Hillsboro recycling dumpster.
Don't. Never so recycle that.
Apparently, Kylie Boshi went dumpster diving and found Social Security numbers. He's all over it. So hundreds of pages of confidential legal documents were found in a recycling dumpster in Hillsboro. The papers included tax returns with Social Security numbers, printed copies of emails, and sensitive client records.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's not good. You got to shred that stuff.
Yeah, you can't just throw it away.
I mean, come on, shred. Shred.
Otherwise, Kyle's going to go through your trash.
That's right. And Kyle, there's a photo of Kyle going through this recycling. He's not kidding around. He's in a suit. He doesn't care that he's going to get dirty. He's
still mucking around in there?
He is. Fighting through the cardboard boxes to see what else is in that dumpster. So this woman's name is Melissa. She would not like her last name used. She's working in cahoots with Eboshi on this story. She says, I was appalled that this information was just sitting there. She works at a nearby business and found the documents in a shared recycling dumpster outside of Hillsboro Strip Mall.
Well, whose fault is it isn't it those people's responsibility? Or was it like a business that threw them out?
Yeah, it sounds like it was a law firm. And they came out and said, yeah, you know, sometimes, there's human error. You're going to make mistakes. Sorry.
Oops. Sorry about that.
But now Eboshi's all up on them and they're in trouble now.
Don't mess around with Kyle.
So then Eboshi goes out there. He digs through the dumpster, and he finds like, okay, here's a telephone number or something.
that's all he found.
He's like, aha! Got you again.
It's ridiculous.
And they said their best estimate is that no more than 10 clients' information was affected. Now, my question and very first thought when I read this story was, yeah, my God, would you ever notice that if you're dumping something in a dumpster? Like, there's... Like, she had to look closely at papers in order to notice that.
Yeah. In high school once.
So that leads me to this question. What the hell was she doing?
Well, maybe she was just a nosy, maybe she's a nosy person. But you're right. Like, why would you look at a document unless it was, like, staring you right in the face?
Ooh, papers.
Yeah.
Let's see what's on them.
In high school once, I was emptying my mom's newspapers into a recycling bin, and I found the world's greatest collection of porn. I found that. Oh. And I did.
Bold statement. World's greatest collection?
Well, I mean, for like 17-year-old me at the time, I had a trunk of porn. A trunk of porn. It filled up my entire trunk, and that was a magical summer. That I was willing to go in to the recycling bin in order to get that out, but that was easy to spot. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What is this? The recycling, the social security numbers, I'm with you. You had to kind of root through the papers.
I mean, it wasn't just laying on top.
No.
Right? Like, so what's she doing? Listen, bottom line here, nothing gets by Kyle Eboshi. Even papers buried in a recycling bin outside of a Hillsboro strip mall.
Yeah. Basically, that law firm thought they could get one over. And you know what? They can't. Not on Kyle.
All right. That's in the news for Tuesday, June 12th. Hey, let's get to the Hot 5 at 5. Got a lot of stuff going on today. In the sports world.
Sports.
Yeah. Very big sports day. Who is Nick Nurse? I'm going to tell you.
Found out today.
Do not confuse him with Nurse Nice.
No.
Nick Nurse.
Did
Nurse
she
Nice.
Get that job?
She is not coaching the Raptors.
Good for you.
At least not yet. And some other stuff next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.